It's the Who's On First baseball show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
And the fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
Woo! And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
Good evening, sports fans. That's right. We're live. Yes, it will be a podcast after we're done with the show, but we are live.
We're live.
It's the Who's on First Base baseball podcast live from Coach's Corner because it's all part of the Coach's Corner Network. And remember, every Wednesday we'll come out with a baseball podcast at least once a month. We'll be here live at Coach's Corner. And then, of course, we'll do it where you just get it on the internet, the radio, the television. But I got to check with my man, Lawrence. Can you hear us, sir? All right, we're live. We got Lawrence.
Audio's good.
Lawrence Bennett from, of course, like I said, there's five shows on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Tonight, the NASCAR show, Rubbin' and Grubbin', had to take the night off. Brandon Bain had a family thing he had to take care of. So he'll be back next week. Remember, go to YouTube. You can see his previous shows.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. Wednesday night, 6 to 7. Run with the Atlanta and then, of course, it's Coach and the Baseball Fanatic on one of the podcasts, but we're going live today, okay? Watch the Who's on First Base baseball podcast tonight, but you can listen to it on Facebook. You can listen on YouTube. We're on Podbean. We're on TuneIn.
TuneIn. Yeah, just look up Carl DeMasi Sports Report, and so, you can find us. We'll be right there.
And then, of course, we got the Hot Grits podcast, so we have two podcasts. Okay, going out of order here. Hot Grit Podcast with Travis Jadon, Spencer Maddox, two young guys. They love sports. They're off the wall. They got great interviews. Check it out. Okay, and the other two internet shows, okay, the Carl DeMasi Sports Report every Saturday morning from 9 until whenever. And then, of course, the 19th hole with the Herb Brothers. They did the Masters Tournament four straight days, trying to beg these guys to come on for another big golf tournament. We'll see what happens, but we'll go from there, and they'll be back on. So those are the five shows. Okay, let's talk about baseball. We do four innings here. First inning, we talk about MLB. We're going to touch all the bases. We're going to do an MLB roundup, first place trades, and all that other good stuff. Then we'll get into a break and focus. Like we're doing it loosely. That's a banana news.
Got to. Best team in the Coastal Plains League. We got to talk about it. And we got an interview tonight that you are really going to enjoy.
We're going to talk to the man as the Wizard of the Skies over Historic Race Stadium. During a game, this man controls the drone. I mean, it's
he
like
does it all.
NFL football. You get that up going. Yeah. It's believable. But he's also president of Savannah Max. He's Jesse Cole's right hand man. Okay. But he's old. They're over at Racing Stadium.
And they can, yeah, come on the stretch here. We got a healthy influence.
Last three games. And then we'll round it up. This is the full episode. But I have one three times here.
Step it up, guys.
I got some tough ones here. It's going to be around home plate. He understands what that means when we get to it. But anyway, let's kick it off. Let's start with Major League Baseball, touching all the bases. We got to go to the standings. No surprises right now.
No, really not.
It's staying steady.
Yeah, it's really staying steady down the stretch, and you can really see over the last couple of weeks what teams are really going to make that push and try to make some moves at the deadline. We'll get there first. Let's start in the National League, and we will go around with the standings right now.
What do you want to go? East, West, Central?
Let's start with East.
No, let's start on the East Coast. West Coast's a little, you know about the West Coast.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Let's go about the East Coast.
Okay. To say East. All right, here we go.
Mets are hanging in there.
Mets are hanging in there in one of the biggest divisions in baseball right now.
You're still calling it weak.
It's an underwhelming division right now. You got the Braves are still in the mix. Philly's still in the mix. The Mets right now are sitting there at 53-46, 6-4 out of their last 10, 3.5 over Philadelphia right now. The Braves are still chomping at the bit. They're one game under 500. Five back and you start to make a few moves into those.
It's amazing. You win 2-1, you lose 1-0, and then you score 12 runs in the third game.
Yeah, that's just it. We'll do that a little bit. Braves focus, but this is a big week for the Atlanta Braves
Bring the DH back to the National League.
Give it 2 years, it'll be here.
let's go back to real baseball and don't have a DH, but we'll get into that another day.
Nah, I wasn't alive in 1973. I can't tell you that right now. But the Mets are holding serve in the East right now. But very winnable division for the other two teams just based on.
Surprised about Washington, though? 46 and 54?
I got to tell you, I'm shocked, you know, and they're shopping Max Scherzer right now.
Oh, big time.
Because they have already basically pulled the plug on the season, so it's a three-team race. Mets are holding serve.
All right, let's go to your near and dear heart because of that silly cap you wear all the time.
Hey, it is what it is, and I got Ernie Banks. I defy you to say anything bad about
this. I'm not going
to
say Ernie Banks. Let's play two.
Let's play two. It's a part of the
greatest
show.
Game,
it's what we
greatest
do.
Game in baseball is when you play two by Ernie Banks.
That's right.
But
it's
also
what it is.
One of the greatest shortstop that never won a World Series, but we'll get into that another time.
Played a lot of first base, too. Let's go
more
to the
shortstop.
Oh, very much so.
He played more shortstop.
Yeah, from 53 to early 60s. But I digress. The Milwaukee Brewers, 7-game lead over a surprising Cincinnati Reds team that is my Cubbies right now.
You know what the favorite place is? Who's going to brew?
The brew. Yeah, I was about to say, you got brew with chicken, lots of cheese.
When I like that.
The hockey stick song, too. You didn't know it tonight, which is surprising.
I don't know.
Anyway, Milwaukee has right. been in a commanding lead. The Cubs have really taken a step back, and you know what direction they're going to go come the trade deadline. Cincinnati right now is 8.5. That is the closest team. Milwaukee is saddling up right now to go for it. And I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. Brewers are playing some really good ball with a scrappy bunch of guys.
All right. So we got the Mets. We got the Brewers. The surprise team this year.
The best team in baseball.
The New York Giants. No, the San Francisco Giants. They broke my brother's heart when they moved out to San Francisco. He was a little kid, 6 years old. They took the ship out to San Francisco. He's always been a diehard Giant fan. But say hey, Willie and the whole gang went out there. But hey, this year they're not supposed to be in first place. You know that.
No, they're still surprising. We've been saying it, the most surprising team all year. We're not surprised anymore. They still are battling it out. They have right now
best record at home.
Best record at home, and they have one of the best records in baseball. And right now they get a 3-game lead over the Los Angeles Dodgers. Meanwhile, you got another team that could sneak into the wild card. And look at all the firepower the San Diego Padres have. They're only 5.5 back right now.
But they're inconsistent too.
Well, they can be inconsistent. But they are inconsistent. But look at the division they have to play in right now. It's unbelievable.
It's proven that it's not one of the weakest divisions, though.
It's
probably the strongest.
I think that it clearly is the best division in baseball. It's proven that, and we've had to play into July to figure that out. I just kept figuring out when the ball was going to drop, when the Dodgers were going to get hot. They played somewhat consistent baseball, but San Francisco still hold and serve, and that's the state of the NL right now.
All right, let's go to the AL. Let's go to the junior circuit.
All right.
We'll stay out west.
You want to stay out
west?
Stay
out west.
Okay.
Some big trades out there in west. Don't get to the trades yet.
Oh, I'm not going to do that yet, but I look at it right now. The Houston Astros still have a 6-game lead over the Oakland A's, who are still chomping at the bit and probably looking more towards the wild card right now. Houston continues to play great baseball. They're going to bolster their lineup a little bit.
And they're not cheating.
That we know of.
Go bang the drums there, buddy. Bang the garbage cans.
Yeah, bang the garbage. Bang the garbage cans
slowly. One of the best shows I've ever saw in New York was at the pier.
Okay.
And the plastic buckets.
Oh, my God.
And the street performers.
Oh, the bucket boys.
Just the buckets are where it's at.
We got them in Chicago, too. You walk out of a game, you know the game's about to be done when you hear the buckets start clanking outside.
That's how Houston won a world championship. But I didn't say that, but let's go on.
All right.
No, it's not the Houston Astros. Houston Bucket Boys won that championship. You know that.
Well, yeah, you couldn't fit it on the jersey, but it is what it is.
It is what
anyway, it is. Anyway, Houston playing some really good ball. Oakland's still in the thick of it, but 6 games out, wild card might be your
and
best chance.
Seattle picks up a big player.
Okay.
But we'll talk about the trade thing.
Yeah,
but they're not going away. But the Mariners clubhouse was not happy with that trade.
Oh, absolutely not.
You trade away your best reliever?
Yeah, you trade away your best reliever, but I like the pickup they got. We got plenty to talk about there. Let's keep going.
All right. Let's go
to the Central, the most obvious division in the American League right now to win it. Cleveland fell off. The
right.
White Sox got Eloy Jimenez back. You know what firepower they have. They're
right.
a clear favorite to win that division. And but Cleveland, what else rocks. Can you say?
They're not rocks, rocking anything. Right now.
Well, they're not rocking a whole lot right now, I'll tell you that.
But the White Sox, you said that from the beginning. That would be the team.
That was the team that I thought was going to take.
We just
got to
hope
step.
The old man doesn't mess that up. You don't know who the old man is, 74-year-old Tony La Russa.
Well, honestly, I think he's actually – I mean,
he's got the clubhouse straightened out?
Yeah, I think the clubhouse is fine. I mean, there's
so much
– He
has some issues to start with, though.
He certainly did. And but honestly, I'm not worried about that. Talent, he has so much talent in that lineup. That's his plug and play. We're ready to go. That means comfortably. We'll see what happens in October.
And that's Chicago's 50-49. They're the only other team over 500. That might be the weakest division, even though the Chicago White Sox are a team to beat this year.
Oh, say no, the White Sox right now, no, Carl, they're 62-40 right now.
I know.
Get out of here. I mean,
but that's it. That division after them is
It's toast.
It's toast.
You have one other 500 team, and you got a really fun Detroit Tiger team. And I wish I had more time to talk about them. I've been watching a lot of Tiger.
But here's the key word: if we were playing an adult game here, the key word tonight. Every time we would say this, you take an adult beverage drink or your kids will drink some soda. Inconsistent. That's what the Detroit Tigers are. Just like the Braves, just like the San Diego Padres.
Been red hot the last 3 weeks, though. They're a fun story. They're doing it with their kids, though.
Right.
And so that's just it. That's a team that's not.
They're playing baseball with their kids, not playing adult games. Okay,
fair enough. Anyway. That's a team I think will give the Sox some little bit of trouble in the future. But right now, it's the Southside Pale Hose. I hate to say it.
And then we got to go to the East and we got to play with the Red Sox Hose. The Red Hose.
I was about to say those Carmine.
But don't count out the Devil Rays.
No, never. Your beloved Devil Rays.
They'll always be the Devil Rays.
You will never not say that. And I love that about you. But. So you go to the East. That's a dogfight.
That is
the most fun division watch right now. Boston still holds serve with a 1.5-game lead over Tampa Bay. Yanks are 8.5 out right now. They haven't really thrown in the towel, but I don't see anything there. You want to talk about inconsistent? There you go.
But they've been hot over the last 2 weeks.
They have been
since
hot over the last 2 weeks.
And
is it enough to go out and make some changes? Do they think they can compete? What do you think?
I think they're going to compete.
You really
just
do.
Like that race, that division is not over. You could say the Red Sox are hot, and they might go. That race, you got four teams: Toronto, the Yankees, the Devil Rays, and the Red Sox are all playing great baseball. It's not over. I'm going to make you drool. Also, guess where I drove by last week?
What'd you do?
I was in Buffalo.
Ah,
in the Buffalo Stadium. Who plays there?
I was
a minor league team.
Well, I was about to say the Bisons.
Okay, but you know what it was dressed up as?
Everything around it was
Toronto Blue Jays.
Blue Jays.
I was excited. I told my wife, forget about Niagara Falls. Let's go over to the stadium. No, but we had to go to Niagara Falls. But it was pretty neat
sacrifices
how they made that
they
stadium.
They really did.
And nestled in that little corner in Buffalo, and everything was Blue Jays.
And it's really not that far of a drive from Toronto to Buffalo.
No.
I got some friends in the Toronto area that make that drive all the time because they weren't able to go see it and weren't able to go see Blue Jay games. And now they're heading back to Rogers Center. That's another fun ball club. You know, Vladdy Guerrero Jr., goodness. But Sox hold serve. That's your roundtable, folks.
All right. Now we've already blown our time limit here by 3 minutes. So we got to talk about trades quick, and then we got to get to the second inning.
All right. So I'm going to go through some of the big acquisitions thus far. Trade deadline, 2 days away. We'll give you a full breakdown next week. Here's some big ones and a couple of names we talked about last week. Starling Marte, outfielder from the Miami Marlins, going to Oakland. Going to Oakland right now, and Miami's going to cover $4.6 million left in his contract for this year. The Miami Marlins get Jesus Luzardo, a left-handed starting pitcher, back to Miami. Speed, solid defense, and he has a little bit of power. 7 bombs, but he's got 22 stolen bases. I knew Marte was going to be on the move, and there you go. Next, you add the ageless wonder, Nelly Cruz, gives some DH power for the Tampa Bay Rays or Devil Rays?
Devil Rays.
All right. So anyway, for a number 17 prospect, goes back to Minnesota. Currently, Nelly's hitting .294 with 19 bombs. Rich Hill, a guy that has been on quite the journey. Started with my Cubs. He's played a little bit of everywhere. He's going now. They need left-handed pitching with all the injuries in Flushing. He's heading to the Mets. From the Rays right now, .387 earned run average right now over 19 starts. Struggled a little bit as of late, hoping they can right the ship, because let me look at the walking wounded for the Mets right now. You're looking at Jacob DeGrom. You got a Cookie Carrasco, Thor, and David Peterson. They're all out. Big move. Could pay off. We'll see what happens. Adam Frazier, a guy that I like. He's currently the Major League Baseball leader in hits. He's also got 28 doubles from the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team that is in full sell, full rebuild, and he goes to the San Diego Padres in, you know, to add more depth to that lineup. He's a versatile guy. You can play him all over the place in the outfield. Good second baseman, and I like the trade. From my Chicago Cubs, a guy that's on a one-year deal, and I'm actually happy about it from a Cub perspective, the Sheriff, Andrew Chapin, the owner of quite possibly the best mustache in baseball.
Yes, he does have a good one.
Oh, man.
You got to check it out.
Oh, it looking good, and just big old country boy. Love him. He's going to go and help in the Oakland bullpen, 2.06 ERA over 46 innings, or 43 innings pitched, and the Cubs get bat. Greg Diekman, their number nine prospect. Solid pick for both teams. A little bit of depth for Oakland. Finally, former Savannah Sanet and former New York Yankee now, Luis Sessa, right-handed pitcher, goes to Cincinnati for cash and a player to be named later. Now, finally, this one just came through the pipeline just a little while ago. Left-hander from Pittsburgh heads to Seattle, a team that you just said they're not going anywhere. That's a team that's going to keep fighting and trying to get the wild card race. They're not. Pittsburgh's going to get a couple of prospects. That's the biggest we have right now. Now, there's some big names that could also go in the next couple of days. Now,
all right, quick. I'm going to make it go quick. Shoot it off. Shoot off those possibilities.
And I want to hear what you think.
But don't go into details. No, we're already past the mark here. I mean, we've already gone over 6 minutes.
All right, it's what we do every time we do this. Here's the four guys that they're going to move. Chris Bryant.
It's going to break your heart.
Yeah, it's going to break my heart, but it needs to happen.
Oh, it's got to happen.
It's part of it, and there's a few teams in the National League and one in the American League.
They could take those ugly Wrigleyville.
Okay, but our other uniforms are classic. Go ahead. Mad Max, we talked about a little bit earlier. Washington, it just got up to a horrendous
start.
Whoever
gets him is going to be a lot.
And I'm thinking a West Coast team, mark my words.
I heard the Giants are really – and the Giants and the Dodgers are fighting over it.
Hey, San Diego might be looking at him too. Look at him go west.
Okay.
Now, Craig Kimbrell. There's a guy who's got one more year left on a contract. Well, he has an extension. I'll put it that way. He could go to a team like Boston. He could go to a team like the White Sox. He could move 9 miles to the south from in Chicago. Philadelphia was also thrown
but
out
my,
there.
My what do you problem, think? My problem with Kimbrell, he's not Kimbrell from the Braves.
Well, no, but he sure as heck has pitched like it this year.
He's consistent, and he's having a great year this year.
But you think he'll fold when he gets into the
I think he'll fold when he gets a little pressure on him.
Well, I don't know. I've just –
He did it with the Braves.
Yeah, well, if we get a – if my team gets a good return, fine. He's the biggest reliever out there right now. Sorry. I'm a homer.
And the last one, he's got to tell a story.
Yeah, Trevor Story, shortstop. And he could certainly help the Milwaukee Brewers as they need a little bit of depth at shortstop right now.
Right.
So those are my big four to move.
But I heard
right
the Yankees are hot on.
They're
Story.
Sniffing about him, and they've wanted him for a couple of years.
Yes.
I wouldn't be surprised. I'd love to see the return. We're going to find out in
the
next 48 hours.
But the key was he just said a couple of years. Now is he the old Trevor Story? I don't think so.
I don't know. I mean,
so
would he? Would
the Yankees
he
are taking a gamble on this one.
Well, no, they would if they were to go out and get him. Can he acclimatize himself to playing for the Bronx? I know he wants out of there. He wants to go into a competitive situation.
Right.
So, folks, this is where we're at. Trade deadline. We always go over.
Always goes over.
It always goes over. But, hey, we got to move on.
I think we touched all bases, eh?
I think we did. I think we hit might have had a – round, well, I think all nine batters batted.
Inside the park home run. We'll go with that. Okay.
You want to do that? Fine.
Before we get to the second inning, which is take a little more Braves focus, okay? First of all, we got to thank you for watching the Who's on First Base. You're watching it tonight. It's also going to be listening to it when I go home and I record it. I got to break it down and put it on Podbean. You can listen to it tonight also, but we got to thank you. Hey, Lawrence Bennett, the producer from Rubbin' and Grubbin', helped set this up tonight. We got to thank you. Yes, he said, good evening, gentlemen.
And
look
both my parents
look at
are watching.
Those two last names.
Oh, my God.
Say hello.
Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. We're hanging out here at Coach's Corner. And Dad says, I'm old, but I found it.
Nice.
I appreciate it. And I know how much he hates the Facebook, but I appreciate it.
Well, if you hate the book, we're on the book tonight. We'll be on Podbean tomorrow. We'll be on TuneIn tomorrow. But tonight, we're on the book. We're on the tube, YouTube. We're
that
live
is
on
correct.
YouTube. And we're also on Twitter. Okay. And, you know, Lawrence Bennett, we're awesome. No, you're awesome, sir, for what
Hi,
you
Mom.
Do for our show and all the other shows here on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. All right, inning number two.
What do we got?
Well, we're in Georgia. Even though he always comes with a Cub outfit on, we got to talk about the home Major League Ball Club, the Atlanta Braves. But first of all, I got to go with, you know, you want to talk about these. Austin Riley's on a tear.
Holy smokes. That kid's been killing it.
Freeman's on a tear.
Yeah, Freeman is on one of the hottest stretches here after getting off to what we thought was a bit of a lackluster start. Freddie is stepping it up. He is
We got to trade the MVP when he was batting 210 at the beginning of the season.
This is why you don't read comments. Get rid of him. This is why you don't read comments on social media, because people are idiots.
Now, we're in Braves focus. This is inning number two. Inning number three will be the Savannah Bananas. But this is what I got to say. If you could stay with a team your whole career, you deserve to be in a Hall of Fame. Derek Jeter comes to my mind.
Well, he was also really good, too.
Well, of course you're going to be good if you stay with your team the whole time. But you can't get rid of Freddie Freeman.
No, that's madness. And I don't know who on God's green earth would say that. He's your captain. He's the face of your team. He won the MVP.
He's the franchise.
He's one of the most underrated first basemen in baseball. He goes out there and he is raking.
I wasn't old enough to watch this guy play. Freddie Freeman is class. Freddie Freeman is a strong man. And I'm going to Lou Gehrig. Okay. Freddie Freeman, from the comparisons and stories I've read, you can compare him to Lou Gehrig. Class. Never says a word.
Consistency.
Consistency.
Healthy.
You never hear a bad thing out of his mouth. You know, nothing derogatory. Beautiful family. I mean, Lou Gehrig's life was cut short. Freddie Freeman's not going to have his life cut short. But that's what I'm talking about.
Mr. Atlanta.
Players who love their team and stay with their team, that's what you got to love. And even if I wasn't a Braves fan, I would love Freddie Freeman.
Who doesn't respect it? And I'll give you a funny story. Just take a couple of seconds
here. Braves fans, you know, he was batting 210. So go ahead.
Okay. So
you hear me, Travis? I'm talking to you, Travis.
Oh, Mr. Jordan. Anyway, we love you, pal. That's okay. Anyway, so.
Janie says hello.
Yeah. Hello, Mumsy. Thank you for watching. So anyway, there was a blowout against the Cubs. The Braves are just beating the living snot out of the Cubs. So Freddie's up there, and his fellow first baseman, you know, Anthony Rizzo, they get him into a rundown, and he goes, Freddie, Frederick. So there's a company that made a shirt that says Freddie, Frederick, and he wears it every day. He wears it to BP. I love it. The guy loves the game, and he loves the Braves. And, I mean, he is on an absolute
tear. He's a baseball player.
He's a purist. He loves the game. Lifer. It's okay. What you do.
All right. We got sidetracked here. Let's go.
Okay. All right. So what
Braves,
I want to talk about.
We're going to have a trade.
I think there are going to be some additions. You know, we got 2 days to go.
Well, we're not
going to
get denoted.
Well, I will tell you that. There's some injuries that you got some guys that are going to be coming off the DL, and I want to talk about it a little bit. What I do want to talk about, a really positive thing. For the second year in a row, the Atlanta Braves have gone with a pitcher out of Wake Forest, and this is a big old boy with their 24th pick. They get a 6'6", 235 pitcher. He just signed for a little bit under slot for what they thought he was going to get, $2.7 million in Ryan Cusick. He's ready to get started, and I'm really excited for him. I, you know, went back.
When was the last time? Think about it. I mean, because you got that cranial vault of baseball knowledge.
Well, I can't do anything else.
So. All right. When was the last time a number one draft pick or a top 10 draft pick went straight to the major league, went straight to the show?
It's been a long time. And I couldn't think of anybody. It doesn't always work out.
Who comes to your mind?
You got to go back into hallowed antiquity for that. But anybody in the last 40 years, you're not going to see.
You're not going to find somebody.
No, you're going to have somebody that's at least going to go to instructional ball. You're going to play rookie league, you know, winter ball, anything like that. You don't see it too often. So this kid's already ready. He's going to go to instructional ball. And, you know, hopefully based on what he's already hit 101 on the gun. And we'll see how long this takes for this
young Mr.
Cusick.
We're saying here tonight, okay, that if you're a baseball player, baseball is a lot harder than the other sports because we got NFL. Number one draft picks thrown right on the field.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Basketball right out of high school, LeBron James. I mean, Kobe Bryant. So could we say that baseball is a little tougher than people give it?
I think the structure of it is a little bit because.
How about the skills?
Well, there's a different skill set.
So-and-so 90 to 100 miles per hour at you.
I think it's kind of tough to do an apples to oranges kind of comparison with that. But what I will say about other, you know, sports is like football. You got your own proving ground. You got college. You go there. That's your minor league.
Right.
And you go to the NBA, college. That's your minor league. There you go.
Why shouldn't high school, minor league baseball, or all these college wooden bat leagues be your ticket to the door? ticket to the show.
I got to tell you, I really don't know. But the fact
because baseball is a lot tougher than those other sports.
Okay. Well, you heard it here first.
You know, are we talking about physicality? Are we talking about getting hit in football or hitting somebody in football? Are we talking about basketball?
I'm going to say is the structure is different. And
you're sticking with the structure. I'm talking about the skills.
Well, yeah, but it's different skill sets.
But which is tougher, to shoot a basket or hit a 90-mile-per-hour fastball?
Well, they're both tough. I don't know. You've never seen me shoot a basket. I'm pretty bad. Anyway, let's get back to the Braves here. Thanks, Mr. Soapbox. All right. So here we go. I want to talk about some injuries here. We got some big guys coming back this week.
You want to tell Dad we can't say those words on my show, our show?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the Packers either, Dad.
We agree with you, but we can't say that. So go ahead.
All right, couple of big ones coming back here. Now, you want to talk about adding from within. Look at some guys.
All right, we're back to the Braves now. I got to get off my soapbox.
That's okay. I'll buy you some
hockey sticks. Go ahead.
Whatever that stuff you like is. All right. You talked about Travis d'Arnaud.
Right.
You might be able to see him. He's coming back. He tore those ligaments in his thumb. You're probably going to see him in the next couple of weeks.
All right. I made a mistake. Who's the guy Miami? Played for the Braves last year. He's with Miami now. He's on a tear. They've been trying to trade for him. Now I got a complete blank.
Well, so do I, and that really makes us look good.
Come on. Played for the Braves. He's in Miami now.
Not Kurt Suzuki.
No, Big Stick. I'll get his name. Go ahead.
Yeah, worry about that. All right. Now, Ian Anderson. I'm not talking about the guy from Jethro Tull. He's coming back from a shoulder injury. We could see him in the next week of August here. And he is
he
a guy.
Is he a brick?
He could be. Hey, Aqualung.
Go ahead.
And Drew Smyly. He's going to start Thursday. He had a little bit of knee tenderness. Came out of his start on Saturday. He looks like he's going to be ready to go. Now, Huascar Ynoa looks like he's had that issue with his fractured hand. He's going to be coming back. So the Braves got a busy week coming up here. Now, they split that doubleheader. They won a big one last night. Here's what we got here on the tilt for the rest of the week here. Now, Max Fried, who's really had to be the anchor with Soroka going out for the entire year, he's getting the start this evening. Now, tomorrow, Drew Smyly's going to get the nod, and they got a big series coming up against a really tough Milwaukee Brewer team. So the Braves, I expect them to make some additions. I don't really want to make any predictions right now because I don't know what Anthopoulos is thinking right now. But I'll tell you this, they're going to fight it out because this is a weak division that they can find a way to win. I really believe that.
Duvall.
Oh, Adam Duvall.
Well, the Braves are looking to get him again.
Well, you can't rule anything out at this point.
But the Miami Marlins has that new female GM.
Yes.
And she's saying that she doesn't want to trade within the division.
There's a lot of that going around.
I know.
Braves are going to make some moves. That's our Braves focus. Coach.
They're inconsistent for me. I'm going to say this every week we talk, every time we talk about the Braves. You win 2-1, great pitching duel. You lose a game 1-0, great pitching duel. There's no bats. All of a sudden, you put up 12 runs the next day. And you don't even have Ronald Acuña Jr. So it's just inconsistent. Like tonight. You think they're going to hit the ball the way it's been going? No.
Well, the game hadn't started yet. I'll let you know.
When was the last time they won two games in a row? That's what I want to know.
Ah, okay. Well, I mean, hey, they've been 5-5. The model of back
six
and
forth. 6-6 since the All-Star break.
Yeah. Look,
I'm not counting them out either, but we have to be consistent. And, we say this – well, I say this every week we talk about them. They got to go on a winning streak.
They do. They got to get hot, and I'm thinking Alex Anthopoulos is going to make some additions to that. Well, and, I mean, to the ball club. I really believe that right now. Well, so we'll see what happens next week. Trust me, we will have the answers. We're not in the front office. We don't know. But the Braves are not sellers.
And Duvall would be a big addition, too.
Yeah, it'd be another big bat.
And the outfield, too.
Yeah, you can They're locking off. Put him in the outfield. You see it. You said catcher, and that just
– I messed it up. Okay.
That guy – I don't want to see him squat.
I was thinking about Danard, whatever you want to call him.
Darnaud.
Okay. It's Duvall. I knew it was one of the D's, so I was close. Mom and Dad, this boy knows too much. That's all I got to say. Once again.
But that's all I know.
You're listening or watching tonight. You're listening to the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast.
I'm alive tonight.
With the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, the baseball fanatic, the man with the cranial vault and the plethora of knowledge about baseball, Kyle Lawson. All right. Inning number 3. The Bananas, 33-7. If they win the next two games, or if they win 2 out of 3 against the Macon Bacon, that's who they're playing to end the season. And yes, The season is over this week. Tonight, home, down the road, right there at Historic Grayson Stadium against the Bacon. Yeah, they go to Macon tomorrow night to play the Bacon. And then they come home on Friday night and play the Bacon. And Friday night, you got to love this, Kyle. It's the NIL night for the Savannah Bananas. You know what NIL means?
Help me out here. I know it has to do with high school.
College.
College, doesn't
name,
it?
Name, image, likeness now. You can make money off your name, your image, and likeness, but you can't use the school where you go to.
No.
So, but what they're doing with the Banana players, now this is a college bat league, wooden bat league. These are college players. They do not get paid to play. Of course, they, like I said on the radio on Saturday, they get host family. Host family help them out. I don't think the host family are paying them. But now they can make money off their name,
yeah,
off their image, or their likeness. So what does the Savannah Bananas go do? They make 30 baseball jerseys, and they have the image of the player on the jerseys, and they're going to be auctioned off. They're up for sale. You can check them out Friday night. Saturday, they'll be on sale. Sunday's the first round of playoffs.
This is cool.
Jesse Cole and the whole crew over there, Jared Orton, you got to love it.
I mean, it's one big happy family down there at Grayson Stadium, great historic Grayson Stadium, and it's fun to see what they do. Everybody buys into it. I have some I know some people in town that are actually
big host buy families jersey?
Every year. I want to try to get out there. I want to get in for a cup game.
I wish we could get in for that first round of the playoffs.
But, I know,
you know, Kyle Lucas and Bill Leroy. Bill Leroy, I'm sitting there Sunday morning watching Sports Center. It's 8:50 in the morning, and they do their Sunday fun day highlights.
Bill Leroy, what do you think shows up?
Bill Leroy coming up to the plate. This is coming up to bat. He's announcing himself coming up to bat.
Yeah, and what I love it is have fun with it. Go out and do it. They try something different every week. It's a lot of fun. And, man, but go ahead.
You're going to see the interview that I did with Jared Orton. How simple is that? Just have a player walk up and introduce himself.
That's it. It was something just off the cuff. Go do it. What happens? Go out there, have a good at bat.
And it blows up everywhere.
Social media does it all the time. We have got an unbelievable interview with, like I said, the president, the master of the drone, Jared Orton with the Savannah Bananas. Carl, take it away.
Check it out. It's a 10-minute video interview, recorded interview, and we'll be right back after that.
Hey, sports fans. This is what it's all about. It's the of course, we got the Wizard of the Skies over at Historic Grayson Stadium. That's the fun time for this man, because what goes into a game when you're the president of the Savannah Bananas, this is where he gets a chance to relax. It's the man himself, Jared Orton. Jared, always great to talk to you. Hey, congratulations. You got a great season going there, buddy.
Amazing season. It's fun to talk about. These guys are playing well, and you know, we're a couple of days away from hopefully making a strong playoff run.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So up to this point, I mean, 2019, 2020, we had to deal with COVID-19. 2021's been great for you guys. Give us a quick wrap. You only got like less than a week left of the regular season. Give us the peel of the season open up for us for the Bananas, okay?
Yeah, you know, what we found is just people are so fired up to come out to Grayson Stadium. You know, even tonight's game, I think there are 32 different states represented, people coming from all over the country. So I think even Alaska is represented tonight, coming all over the country to come to Savannah, to come to Grayson Stadium, to see these guys play. And it's been a special season, probably one of the best we've had since we've been here.
I mean, what are you, 33-7?
Yeah, 33-7, which is unbelievable. 13 game winning streak to start the season. You know, I thought we were going to beat the Oakland A's, you know, that 20-game winning streak there back in the early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, it's simply amazing. But back then, the Oakland A's bunted, which you guys don't like to do. But that's in banana bowl.
That's so right. We only steal bases.
Yeah, and you run them backwards sometimes, too. You know that.
That's right.
So it's been exciting. Historic Grayson Stadium's been alive since you guys moved into that stadium. So you got a weekend left with the arch rivals, the Macon Bacon. So tell us what's going on with them.
Yeah, so they are eliminated from the playoffs. They won't be able to get in. So, but we're still fighting for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So we've got to knock out these next couple of games before we get into Sunday. If we get, I think, two more wins is going to guarantee us home field advantage through the playoffs. And we'll get, hopefully, a championship-clinching win at Grayson Stadium, which obviously we won the championship in 2016, but we did it on the road. To do it at home in front of a packed house, Grayson Stadium, that will be an experience that most people will never forget.
And how are the players taking this? I mean, they've accepted what they got to do. I coined a new jump at the end of the game. It's the historic.
What you got?
It's the historic Grayson Stadium banana leap when you guys jump into the back of the inning. I mean, it's great. These guys this year, you got a couple guys back for their fourth year, which is unheard of. But you got a lot of these young guys loving it. So these guys are believing in what you're doing.
You know, there's so much buy-in from the coaches and the players and the new guys, and especially the returners who really set the tone for what it means to play at Grayson Stadium and to be a banana. And that's what it all comes down to, is these guys know what it takes to be a Savannah banana. That means, you know, we're trying to make baseball fun. That's what it comes down to, is how are we making this game more fun for the players, the fans, ourselves, the people watching. And you know, you see the celebrations this year. You see more of the interaction with the fans. I mean, you know, guys are getting autographs from kids. Like, literally, they're asking the kids for their autographs, which is an amazing thing that's happening here. And so you get all that. And what it turns into is this amazing summer of great entertainment, great fun, great play on the field, great culture. And, you know, from top to bottom, coaches to players to staff, everyone is bought in. And it's what we believe is probably the most fans first summer we've ever had.
And, you know, I've talked to Tyler Gillum, the coach, the manager, and his motto is know when to turn the switch on. Hey, those guys know when they get between those white lines.
Right.
Coach Gillum said, turn the switch on. You're a baseball player. But outside those white lines, they're just like you guys. They're entertainers. They want to give to the fans first. It's simply special. All right.
It is.
Quickly. Okay. I know I told you 10 minutes and we'll be done. Okay. I got to give you a lot of credit. How do you keep that drone from not getting hit by a ball?
So I've personally actually gotten hit. I was standing down the third base line. I was trying to hide behind the, you know, fence and netting a little bit. And I had the drone up and I heard the ball get hit and I saw everybody moving. And for whatever reason, instead of leaning backwards, I peeked out to see where the ball was, which was a terrible idea. And the ball came right down the fence, knocked off the net, hit me in the head. And I was like, why did I do that? Fortunately, the drone's never been hit. If it did, that would be, I don't know, ground rule double, maybe. Who knows?
Hey, remember the Seagull?
So, yeah, Randy Johnson,
Randy Johnson. So it was amazing. But tell people why the drone. People don't understand. I'm a baseball bananas insider, so when I'm at a stadium, I watch it when you're home. I listen to Biko do his wizardry of the whiteboard. But tell the people what the drone adds to that game, because I wish Major League Baseball would do it.
Yeah, for us it was, you know, how can you watch a game from a different perspective? And I really think that there is a very interesting perspective of being able to move around the infield from second base to third base, third all around the first, to be able to follow the movement. You know, you see it in an NFL game, you know, that beautiful view where you feel like you're right on top of the action. You see it, you know, sometimes in other sports where they're, you know, the cameras are flying back and forth. And so we thought, like, that would be the way to watch a baseball game. Yes, you know, behind center field is okay, you know, first and third. But awkward from the way that the field is set up is that you lose a lot of the good angles. And we thought, let's put a drone up and get right on top of it, and that would be something that fans love to enjoy. The second piece of it is, you know, being able to fly it at like 7:30 or 8 o'clock at night when the skies behind Grayson Stadium just get so beautiful and you get that orange and purple and red. And it's just, it's a beautiful thing for people to see. And I feel like it really takes them in to feeling like they're actually almost at Grayson Stadium.
I mean, it's simply amazing. And you're listening to the president of the Savannah Bananas, Jared Orton. Now, you've been here since day one. Okay. I got 3 minutes. I got two last questions. One is the national exposure. Bill Leroy, I'm sitting there Saturday morning. You know, of course, I'm a Facebook fanatic. I'm putting up scores, the Bananas news. And Sunday Funday comes up on ESPN SportsCenter at 8:50 in the morning, and it's Bill Leroy. I said, I got to wait till this comes back on again. I got to record this. And, I mean, Sports Illustrated did an article on it yesterday. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, I saw the Sports Illustrated one, USA Today, and then someone sent me a message last night that they were at the Minnesota Twins game, and they put the video up on the jumbo board at the Twins game.
Yes.
Crazy. And, you know, where that comes from is the entertainment folks and the players getting together and just saying, hey, what's next? What's a new idea? And, you know, traditionally, the announcer introduced the player. Why not have the player introduce himself? And that's where the idea – it's so simple. You know, some of these things that we do are not these incredible, you know, off-the-wall ideas. They're actually very simple. Let the player introduce himself. When he does it, and you do it with Bill, who's just got that amazing personality, it just becomes
playoffs. Well, that's the history of the Bananas. Playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs. So it's two three-game series. So we start at home Sunday night, Grayson Stadium, round one, game one. Then we'll go on the road for game two. Then obviously if we split, we'll come back here for game three on Tuesday night. Then the second round, which is actually the championship round, starts on Thursday, another three-game series. We'll start on the road most likely on Thursday, and then we'll come back to Grayson on Friday night and Saturday night. Fingers crossed we win the championship at home on either Friday or Saturday night. So that's the plan for the championship. Game one sold out. Game two and three and four and all that, people can get tickets as they happen. So we're not obviously putting anything on sale yet. But, you know, be on the lookout. If you want to come to a playoff game, be ready to go as soon as we announce them.
All right. We did it. 30 seconds left.
Man, big shout out.
Big shout out to anybody.
Big shout out goes to
Biko Silva, Biko Scala, chance for him to be the broadcaster of the year.
Good call, Biko Scala. Vote for Biko. He's got until Saturday, I think. The voting in Saturday, broadcaster of the year.
I'm in. Once again, Jared, keep up the great work. I look forward to seeing you maybe this weekend for the playoff game. But once again, always go Bananas, buddy.
All right, Carl. See you, man.
Thanks.
I mean, what more do you want, okay, besides a little bathroom break there that got announced on the show?
But somebody didn't turn the mic
off. I didn't turn the mic off when we went to the video, so I do apologize. But, you know, when you got to go, you got to go. And I just – but, you know, little sidetrack there. His, you know, his girlfriend walked in, so he had to go say hello to her first. But we know how that goes. I'm glad this is a baseball podcast, and we're learning about going to the bathroom saying hello to our girlfriends. But anyway, D walked in, I do the same thing, so – but anyway, playoffs start Sunday.
Can't wait.
They're already locked for the home field advantage for the first round. There's only two rounds.
Two rounds.
Okay, only four teams make it. The first place winner of the first half and the second place winner of the second half. Of course, the Bananas can win the second half, so the second place team will go. So, but if they win two out of the next three in the second round, the championship round, so you'll have the semifinals and the finals will be Grayson Stadium will hold two games.
Yeah, that's just it. They've got that home field advantage. I mean, like Jared said, I mean, this has been an unbelievably fun year. And, I mean, they have the best lead. They have the best record in all of the Coastal Plains League by
33-7.
Yeah, over the Peninsula Pilots, a very tough team. And
who's the only team to beat them four times?
Yeah, that's it.
The Macon Bacon.
The Bacon. They're rivals, and they got to deal with that. And I love it.
And Macon, and that Bacon can't even be in the playoffs. They're already eliminated.
They can't, but, I mean, hey, know thy enemy, and that's what keeps
But, you know,
happening.
If you're a Bacon, you don't want to see Bananas get home field advantage, so you're going to try and win these three games.
Oh, yeah. No, you want to play. And also the guys on the Bacon right now, they still are trying to, like, get their at-bats in, get the exposure, get signed, be ready to go back to college. It's all about it. That's what the Coastal Plains League is all about. Mm-hmm.
But, so, once again, something as simple as your baseball player walking up to the plate, announcing himself, introducing himself,
Mr. Bill.
Then, of course, the drone in the sky. I mean, little things like this are making baseball fun for the people in Savannah, Georgia. And that's what it's all about. Fans first, having
fans
fun.
Fans first.
You know, and, you know, you got to flip the switch.
Yeah. Be able to, I mean, Tyler Gillen, the manager of the Bananas, says it. Know when to flip the switch. Know when to entertain. Know when to go out and deliver and play ball. And they have found that perfect happy medium. It's one big happy family over at Grayson Stadium.
All right. That's the third inning. Now we go to the fourth inning. You're watching the Who's on First Base? Baseball podcast with the coach, yours truly, Carl DeMasi, the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. Remember, it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Come on down. There's a gazillion TVs. We got soccer on one, which he's cheating. Well, now we got Olympic tennis. Then we got the Braves all over the place. We got trivia going on. I mean, it's Pub Star Trivia Night here Wednesday nights. Every Wednesday night here at Coach's Corner.
I just ordered some food. It'll be ready after the show. Can't wait.
I mean, you know, food fun all the time since
1991.
All right. And don't forget the Sound Garden. We got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we got some good bands coming up. We'll introduce who they are. Just go to Eventbrite or go to coaches.net or go to Coach's Facebook page. If you're watching this on Coach's Facebook page, go to the Event Center and you can see who's playing the Sound Garden.
Check it out.
Fourth inning. It's trivia time. Yes, the Fanatic is leading. Yes, Janie, he is a wonderful boy. Okay, hi, Janie. I never met you, Janie. I'm a little older than him, but he's a wonderful boy. You've done good. You've done good, okay? Even Angie will tell you that, all right? So she's giving you a thumbs up, Janie. So
She's a trooper.
But anyway, how do we work it? We were doing three questions. It was taking too long. So we go two trivia questions. If it's a tie, we go to a tiebreaker.
If needed.
This is the 14th episode. He's 8-3-2 this year. We tied 8-3 twice.
8-3-2,
right?
Yeah.
We tied twice.
You've stepped up the game, and you've proven your mettle. I'm liking this.
All right. So last week was my turn to lead it off. I was the visitor. This week, it's his turn to be the visitor. So we're in the first inning. Here's my first trivia question for the baseball fanatic. Who is the oldest pitcher in Major League history to win a game? I'm not even going to make you give me his age.
To win a game. Ooh.
And it's not far off that it happened.
Oh, fairly recent.
Yeah, we're not going back into the 1890s like I always get you on.
Cripes. Okay. Give me a second
here. I'm not looking at your question, so don't worry about it.
All right. I still got to put my book over here.
Don't cheat.
Not. Hey, you moved your paper.
I know.
All right. Oldest player to win a game in the modern era.
And I made it 6 fonts, so you can't read it.
You'd be surprised. I can see pretty good.
All right, Superman. Come on, Ernie's on your chest. Make him proud.
All right, and you said this is fairly recent.
Yeah. 9 years ago.
Jamie Moyer.
Oh, get out of here.
I don't know.
Well, how did you come up with Jamie Moyer?
He pitched for a long time, sir.
The answer is Jamie Moyer. April 2012. Jamie Moyer, 49 years old, 49 years, 150 days old, pitched the Colorado Rockies to a 5-3 win over the San Diego Padres.
They cut him shortly afterwards. That's a guy that just stuck around.
There was no way I would think you would get that. No way I thought you would get that. All right, you're up 1-0. Let's go. Bottom of the first.
Okay.
Already he's got a 1-0 lead.
All right. I'm going Braves heavy tonight, girl. So here we go. Can you name me the first number that was retired by the Braves organization?
By the Braves?
Yeah. It could be any one of the three cities they played in.
I just got to give you a name. I don't have to give you a number.
Yeah, give me a name.
A name.
If you give me the number, I mean, well, actually, you can just wait and I'll tell you.
Eddie Matthews.
Very good guess. That'd be the second one. Warren Spahn. Finished up his career with one of those just terrible Mets.
All right, I'm always second best. But Matthews is a great guess.
It is. It's a great
guess. How many Braves fans even know about Spahn and Matthews?
Is
Aaron.
Not as many as they should. All right, what you got for me?
Top of the second inning. I hope this is tough enough. You'll probably get this one.
Yeah, we'll see.
Who stole, and I'm going to make this tough, who stole home run the most times, and how many times did he do it?
Who stole
you
home gotta
get
the most?
Both.
Who stole home the most?
Home plate, stolen base, and how many?
Ooh.
I'm making this tough on you. I'm not letting you off on this easy. Keep on smiling, Angie. I got to get him sooner or later. I know. You already got him. I don't want him. Okay? But go ahead.
Anybody else hear the Pina Colada song in the background? I can hear it. All right.
Mom's proud of you. She's giving you 3 thumbs up. Go ahead.
All right. Ty Cobb.
Okay, that's half. You got to get the other half. How many?
28.
54. He did not get it. 54. 54 times that guy stole home plate.
That's unbelievable. And he did it.
You owe me a beer. Sorry, adult beverage.
I'll get you a Zima. I know what you like.
No. A little crowd and ginger, buddy.
All right,
I'll
pal.
Go for the expensive stuff. All right, so
all right.
I don't get this. Okay. You win again. Bottom of the second. Come
okay.
on.
Well, please. Since you already answered my second question with Eddie Matthews, and I had to give you that a little bit, I'm going to give you not so much a multiple choice. After the two that I named, there are eight more numbers that are retired by the Braves organization. Give me four numbers.
There are eight more retired by the Braves.
Can you give me four of them?
You got to go 44.
There you go. This could really come back and bite me, folks.
No, it can't because I couldn't even tell you five of the Yankees. Well, I could tell you more than the Yankees, okay?
Well, they have plenty of them.
We got Ernie Matthews. Ernie Matthews.
Eddie Matthews, which we've already talked about. Right. You can't do that.
I can't use him?
No, you can't. I already mentioned it.
Warren Spahn.
No, you already said that. I said, of the two we have mentioned,
there are eight more.
There are eight more. You gave me one, which is Hank Aaron. There are seven more you can choose from.
I just got to give you names.
Yes.
Dale Murphy.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to go with Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
You got to go with John Smoltz.
Okay. You proved
it. I'm still going. The lefty.
You got four of them.
Glavin. I want to see if I can get all eight. That's five.
I totally just.
Phil Niekro.
Yeah.
That's six.
You want to get all of them.
There's two more. I'm doing good here. I'm starting to remember the famous Braves. I can't use Matthews. I can't use Spahn. Who else would they retire? Dale Murphy, Maddux, Glavin, Smoltz, Bobby Cox. That's seven.
Sure is.
Who was the last one? I know you're going to laugh at this one. Bob Horner. I don't know the last one.
Okay.
Joe Torre?
Ooh, that's a good one.
But he didn't get
it. No, he did not. All right, so you get that. We are tied, sir.
All right, so who was the last one?
I'm not going to tell you. That's my bonus.
You can't use
because
that.
Because I don't have another question,
Carl. You better start thinking. All right, here's the bonus. We're in the bonus. We're tied 1-1.
Oh, come on.
Okay. All right. Who was the first player ever to win back-to-back Cy Young Award, and who did he do it with?
Back-to-back Cy Young?
In consecutive years.
Well, it's got to go with Greg Maddux. He won it with the Cubs in 92, and he won with the Braves in 93.
Hate to tell you, no. Steve Carlton.
Oh, he St. Louis and Philadelphia.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes. All right, I got the tiebreaker. He's got to come up. He missed his tiebreaker. We're going to probably end up in a tie.
Yeah, I got a really good feeling about that because I think my tenders are ready.
All right, well, quick.
All right. Oh, boy.
Just think of something baseball-wise. Like 108 stitches in the baseball tour inside. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, there's that. Oh, cripes. All right. Give me. Hang on. Name the 2 years the World Series was not played.
You already gave me that one.
Yeah, but
I don't remember.
See, that's what I'm doing. I'm going back to an old show because, boy, I'm out of ideas.
2 years that they didn't play baseball.
I got a baseball from one of them. See which one you can guess. You'll be pleasantly surprised.
The 2 years they didn't play a World Series?
Correct. You're not going to get one of them.
1942.
Oh.
And 1987 when the bridge broke or there was an earthquake in San Francisco. I don't know.
Well, you're really wrong about both of those. The bridge broke in 89. And 42, no, they still play. The Yankees won. Actually, no, the Cardinals won that
year. Well, it was World War II started in 41 in December, so I figured it'd
go back and watch Ken Burns baseball. Remember when he says, Mr. President, the baseball is yours. What would you like to do? Keep playing. It'll boost morale. All right, we ain't in a tie, so what is that? 8-3-3?
So give me the 2 years.
Oh, the 2 years? 1904 and 1994. The strike.
94, the strike. Okay.
Dun, 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 dun.
I would never got 04. So anyway, yes. So now it's 8-3-3. So we've tied three times. All right.
If you're
so,
a goalie, that's still a pretty good record.
All right, here you go. Remember, Coach's Corner, the center of the sports universe. Gazillion TVs as Lawrence Bennett, the producer of Rubbin' and Grubbin', coins it. come in here and watch anything you want. You got baseball. You got the Olympics going on. What's your favorite Olympic sport?
Ooh, in the summer?
Summer Olympics, your favorite?
I like track and field.
Track and field. Okay, I'm going to go with a little splash. I love swimming, okay?
You didn't say water polo, which I think is really cruel to the horses. I don't like that.
Or the Speedos, they get pulled down. We won't go there.
Yeah, they're in the pool.
You don't want to talk about that.
Okay. I was in a pool.
Janie, I'm sorry that we're talking about this stuff in front of you. But all right. So in the Soundgarden, because it's all sports, all music, which is all food and fun since
1991. Okay, Coach.
Tomorrow night. Oh, you're going to love this.
What you got for me?
Okay. Probably the greatest individual performer. Started out with a group.
Okay.
Started out with his brothers. We got the King of Pop tribute singing tomorrow.
Ah.
Who is it?
It's Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson. Tomorrow night in the Soundgarden, we got King of Pop, a tribute to the genius of Michael Jackson. Okay, go to Eventbrite, 7 o'clock it starts. I'm telling you, the guy that does this, he is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Okay, next up, okay, Pandora's Box on Friday night. Pandora's.
We got a fan coming over.
Okay.
Pandora's Box. Okay.
All right. Well, when we're here doing a podcast, we don't want to talk about your friends. Go ahead.
Well, they were coming over. They were saying, hey, congrats on the show.
Okay.
Pandora's Box. Dang on it. All right. Help me out here.
Aerosmith. Smith.
Okay. Toys in the Attic. There
Toys
we go.
In the Pandora's Box. You're getting it. You're catching it. You're catching it. Okay. That's Friday night. We got Pandora's Box, the ultimate Aerosmith tribute band, and then a local favorite on Saturday night, Thomas Claxton. And the myth. So yep. Go to Eventbrite, get your tickets, pack the place. It's packed every Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. Come on out.
You're gonna have a ball.
Do you believe? Look at the clock.
I know. We said this is gonna be a shorter show, but we had that great interview. That was good trivia tonight. I shot myself in the foot, but you played up to it. We got a lot to talk about next week after the trade deadline. Man, we're going to have a good show for you.
56 minutes already. So, once again, we were live tonight at Coach's Corner, the center of sports universe, because it's all part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Five shows on the internet, the Call DeMasi Sports Report, every Saturday morning, 9 to whenever. Wednesday night, 6 to 8, rubbing and grubbing with the Atlanta man, Brandon Bain. I had a night off. He had to take care of some family stuff. Okay, and then, of course, the Herb Brothers with the 19th hole. One big, great show, four straight nights talking about the Masters. Someday they'll do more than one show a year. Go to YouTube, check it out. You want to laugh? You want to have a good time? It is adultish. Okay. Then the podcast, right now, episode, who's on first base? Baseball podcast, the Good Nazi, and the Matt Ellison. The Young Guns with the Hot Grit podcast. And 77 is out. It's on the Coach on Facebook, go to any pod, listen to Travis Spencer, nice, they do a great job. It's time to get out of here with the beat now. He's waiting to go have some dinner. Once again, what are you doing tonight, tomorrow night, Friday night? Whatever you're doing, always do what?
Hit it out of the park.
And until we speak to you or talk to you next week, we'll be doing this once a month live. May it be your best week ever. So COVID-19 is on the rise again. Please mask up. Please be safe.
Wash
if
your
you're
hands.
Vaccinated, great job. You're not vaccinated, get vaccinated. But once again, peace out. Be safe and take it out of here, buddy.
See you later and make next week your best week ever.
And remember, it's a great day to play too.